Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Job 27 and Romans 11 verses 25 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz and is entitled All Glory to God.
Our reading is again Job, and this time responding to his friends claiming his righteousness, but righteousness just in the sense that he's perfect before God, but righteousness in the sense of integrity. They want him to confess a sin that he hasn't done, and he's a person who can stand before God with the knowledge that he doesn't deserve what he's going through. There is no sin so great in him that would deserve the great suffering that he's going. If you new to this book, he not only lost all his income, all his possessions, but also all his family, apart from his wife, all his children, descendants, and he also lost his health. So, man of great suffering. And here it is replied to his friends.
Job again took up his discourse and said, "As God lives, who has taken away my right, and the Almighty, who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit. Far be it from me to say that you are right. Until I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. I hold fast my righteousness, and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days. May my enemy be like the wicked, and may my opponents be like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the godless when God cuts them off, when God takes away their lives? Will God hear their cry when their trouble comes upon them? Will they take delight in the Almighty? Will they call upon God at all times? I will teach you concerning the hand of God, that is, that which is with the Almighty, I will not conceal. All of you have seen it yourselves. Why then do you come together in vain? This is the portion of the wicked with God, and the inherited and the heritage of the oppressors received from the Almighty. If their children are multiplied, for it is for the sword, and their offspring have not enough to eat. Those who survive them, the pestilence buries, and their widows take no lamentation. Though they leap up from silver like dust and pile up clothing like clay, they may pile it up, but the just will wear it, and the innocent will divide the silver. They build their houses like nests, like booths made by sentinels of the vineyard. They go to bed with wealth, but will do so no more. They open their eyes, and it is gone. Terrors overtake them like a flood in the night of a whirlwind carries them off. The east wind lifts them up, and they are gone. It sweeps them out of their place. It hurls at them without pity. They flee from its power in headlong flight. It claps their hands at them and hisses at them from its place." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, New Testament is taken from the letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 25 to the end. And that's a section in Romans after finishing telling what the gospel is. There's a few chapters between, before just chapter 12, that speaks about the place of Israel's, and Paul trying to make sense of why has Israel in its main rejected their own Messiah, Jesus, and why was it received and rejoiced by those who were not Israelites, which was kind of a, to be mild, quite a surprise, but part of God's plans that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were responded in great number to the good news, while his own people, the Jewish people, were resistant and rejecting the message. So here we have the final words of that, I think it's three chapters, from chapter 9 to chapter 11. So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What a powerful passage. It feels like I don't want to really say anything else than that. Such a proclamation of the greatness, the wonder, the awe of God. And it feels a little bit like Isaiah, who had to have his mouth touched by coal, the kind of a picture of made his words holy. And he says, you know, we all have fallen, and mainly was not their behavior, but the way they were talking about God was so short of who God truly is. And I feel that as a vicar, always there is so much more to God, to his honor, to his greatness, to his goodness, that I feel often falling short. And I do pray that when we talk from the front, when we share the message, our picture of God will be always bigger than what we think we understand. The depth, the riches, the wisdom of the knowledge of God is unsearchable. We don't truly know, but we know something of God. And that has been revealed most clearly in Jesus, and through his life, and through his teaching, and more importantly, his death and resurrection. We can know something of God that is enough for us to find salvation, that means like rescue, to find grace, forgiveness, but also to find a redirection of our lives so that they become more and more purposeful, in a sense of aligned with God's character intentions. And we are caught up in an amazing and wonderful plan, which is God's plans to tell everyone, not just the Jew at the time, but now the Gentiles, in very mysterious ways the Jew had rejected, so that the Gentiles could be brought in, and through that bringing in, so that the Israelites could be jealous and be more awake. So something quite strange is happening, and I think we will be surprised at the end of time of who we will see with God. He said, how did he make it? Or how did she make it? Or who might not be with God? But somehow, as it says, all tears, all sufferings, all questions will be answered. And so we are called to make it our priority number one. If you're not sure about God, not sure about, pick a Bible, read through one of the Gospel, which is one of the narratives of Jesus, which is John, Mark, Matthew, or Luke. Ask questions to a friend that you know is a Christian, and you can see has something different, something maybe we can say otherworldly. That's God's very presence, the Holy Spirit. But that's the most important. I think when I grew up, it says there are a few very important decisions you make, well, three kind of, in the sense the path you want for your career, because if you choose something that's horrible, that's going to be hard for quite some time in your life. Your spouse, make a wise decision, because if you believe it's for life, there we go. So that's an important, but the most important is the question of God, who God is and his purpose, and the person of Jesus who claimed to be the way, the life, the truth to the Father, to God. It's too important to dismiss those questions, the question of eternal life, the question of our soul, and the question of what's happening after we die, where we come from, who we are, and where we're heading. It's kind of the big questions of philosophy, the key. And often there's so much distraction in our world that we don't take time to do that. So at St. James, we have Alpha Course, which is a chance to anyone who wants to take a little bit of time to reflect and ask those questions and be in a place where they can ask any question without judgments. It's only 6 evening in 6 weeks to explore that. Just a few hours in a lifetime worth doing. But for me, what I take from the passage is again, to ask God to continue to expand my awe of who he is, what he can do, and to know that he is bigger than my questions, that my discomfort, than sometimes a dark place I might be ending up, that he is faithful and that he's able to keep me safe. As it says, nothing can separate us from his love. Something else that for you, Lynn?
No, I think I take on board what you've said. As we were talking, I've written as a title for this, for the Bible bite, is All Glory to God. And I think your summary at the end actually is All Glory to God. I suppose what I took from Job, and I've come to read Job differently now, and it is all about trust and his unswerving trust that whatever he went through, the Lord was on his side. Just trust in the Lord, glory to God.
Let's start off time of prayer maybe with this again. Bits at the end of our reading. It has a doxology. There we go. It has a specific words. It's a doxology. Praise to God. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. Or who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we declare our trust in you. For from you, through you, and to you are all things. We belong to you as we have been made, wonderfully made to reflect your character, your intentions in our world. What a wonderful gift you have given us. And yet all humanity, whether Jews or non-Jews, none of us have been able to truly reflect that glory into our world. As you say, we've all fall short of that call we had. And we all need mercy, grace, forgiveness to be brought back. Thank you that although in the wholeness of who you are, we can't comprehend, you've opened our minds to understand the coming of Jesus, your Son. One day you help us to understand that what happened on the cross was for us. That on that cross, Jesus died my death. He took my curse that I had brought on myself through my sins. And through his resurrection, he showed that death has been conquered, the curse has been broken, and that through trusting in that promise, I am free. We are free from fear, free from death, free also from a world that oppresses, that tries to pull us away from you. We've received through your Holy Spirit a new freedom to live out the life that is worthy, to reflect afresh something of your intentions and character in our world.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.